Isn't it? It's kind of negative. Well, I want you to know this sermon is not negative. There is the ending of this text, though, is very positive. As he says, verse 19, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But I do not want you, yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." I want you to, as in another passage, Paul says, "In malice I would that you be children, in understanding I would that you be men or adults." And so there's a sense of an innocence that he is seeking for the brethren. There are interesting marks that you're going to find in the Bible. He says in verse 17, "Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine of Christ." During the Dark Ages, if a woman was accused and found to be guilty of harlotry, there was a mark that was placed upon her arm by branding. An A, typically, there might be variations on that, but an A for adulteress would be branded upon her arm in plain sight for anyone to be able to see, that would show that she was indeed that. In our own country, we have a phrase that's used. If a person is a fugitive from the law, he is called a marked man. You have your FBI 10 most wanted list that's posted at the post office and various internet sites. And all of these, you know, then you also have the mark of Cain that's found in Genesis 4, verse 15, where Cain killed his brother Abel, and God placed a mark upon him to indicate what he was and who he was. And of course, Cain is scared. This means they're going to kill me. And God says, "No, I'm not going to let them kill you. But I want them to know who you are." It was a mark. It was a way of identifying him. And then in Revelation 13:16, the infamous mark of the beast. Now do not, after church, come by and say, "So what does that mean?" Don't do it. Just leave me alone about that. Hardly anybody can say with certainty what that is, so I'm not going to go there today. But it's a negative mark, obviously, that in the marketplace, according to this passage in Revelation 13, you could not buy or sell in the marketplace unless you had the mark of the beast on your arm or on your forehead. That this was permission in that society for you to be able to buy or sell during that in that text. The point of it is, these are all bad marks. And of course, in your school, they used to call it marks. Your marks, how are your marks? We say, how are your grades, don't we? But in school, they would say, how are your marks? Oh, if you're having bad marks, that's good. That's not good, that's bad. If your marks are good, that's great, but bad marks. Well, brethren, there are good marks. There are marks. There are indicators, if you please, of what a Christian is. And I want you to know that a Christian is a marked man. Now, I don't know what has happened in our country to make tattoos such a rage. It is unbelievable how they have gained in popularity. It's like, man, you know, unless you've got ink stuck under your skin somewhere, you're just missing out. I don't get that. I don't get it. I know I've seen on television, on the History Channel, them taking those shells with the ink and tapping these guys on the back, putting those tribal tattoos on these Samoan warriors and all of this. And you see things like that. And then these football players, they think they've got to have their whole arm tattooed with these tribal-type tattoos. It's interesting, isn't it? I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I don't plan to get one. And Faye told me she's going to try not to ever get one. But, you know, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Marks. These are marks. I mean, in the Old Testament, the Jews were forbidden to have tattoos. They were forbidden. But that, it was something confined to the Jews. So you'll never hear me say from this pulpit that having a tattoo is wrong. I will not say that because the Bible does not teach that. In the New Testament, it teaches that for the Jews in the Old Testament, it never taught that for the Gentiles even. So we don't need to be making laws where God did not make laws. But there are a lot of marks in our society. And a Christian is a marked man too. And the whole world can tell what a Christian is. Our Lord pointed out some definite signs of a true disciple in the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're going to look at the Beatitudes this morning as the marks of a Christian. And these are signs, if you please, of his character. He is or hers. And all true Christians have these marks to some degree. And the mark of a Christian obviously is not seen in the clothing that we wear or a particular robe or a collar or a pendant that we may wear around our neck. But it is the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, as Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. So this morning, let's examine seven marks of a Christian. First of all, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A Christian is one who recognizes his need for God. He recognizes his need for God. I've heard this idiom, a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. I've heard that idiom. Have you heard that? Of course you have. One thing about hogs, when they find an acorn, they don't ever look up and even grunt a thank you. They don't ever look up to the tree or to the sky and grunt a thank you. They just take it and go. And there are so many people that live their life like hogs who take and take and take and never recognize God as the giver. Never even notice that God has given them the blessings that they have, the life that they enjoy. But the Christian is different than the world because we recognize how badly we need God. We look at our lives and we look at the lives of people around us. We look at the condition of our world around us and we can see that man without God is a wreck. And society where God is not a part of that society is a disaster. It's chaos. It is utter confusion. And it is turmoil. But the Christian recognizes his need for God. It is truly a realization of how much we need salvation. We need God's forgiveness. We need God's power. We need God's love. We need God's blessings. We will attend the services of the church because we know we need to be here. We need it. It's not that we have to. We need it. We need to be together. We need to offer praise and worship to God. We need it. It's not a necessity. It's not a have to. It's a want to. Lord, I want to be here. I need to be here. I need it. I need God in my life. And a true Christian has that mark of a person who needs God. Who needs God like you need oxygen to breathe, like you need water to drink, like you need rest at night. We need God. We need Him. And we know that we would be nothing and we would be nowhere without God's help. A Christian is a marked man in the sense that he is sorry for his sins. That's a mark of being a Christian, is a sorrow for the sins that we've committed. Look at verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Every translator, every commentator that I have ever seen points to sin with this verse. Why should we mourn? Yes, we mourn over the loss of a loved one. We mourn over a breakup of a friendship or a relationship. We mourn over missing or lost health or lost blessings. Yes, we mourn over these things, but the point of this context is that we mourn over our sinfulness. We mourn over our failure to live as God would have us to live. Blessed is the man who mourns, for he shall be comforted. Why? Because God forgives. God forgives, and he makes it known that he forgives. God will bless us when we come to him in humble repentance. When we come to him with sorrow for our sins, God will forgive us. And it's such a blessing to us to admit that we've done wrong and to be sorry for it. He's sorry for the sins that he's committed. He's sorry because he knows he's human and he knows he's imperfect and he knows he's going to make mistakes. And it takes a big person to admit when he or she has made a blunder, when they have done wrong. It's a small person indeed who in their own eyes never does wrong. Never does wrong. You know, the joke about, you know, I thought I was wrong, but I found out I was mistaken. I've only been wrong once, and it was that time. And that's sad. It's a funny joke if it's a joke. But unfortunately, too many people live like that's the case with them. They really haven't messed up or made a mistake. Folks, Peter messed up bad, but I'm going to tell you about Peter. Peter did have a pride problem, but Jesus fixed that for him. Jesus showed him the better way. And Peter was not too proud to admit his mistakes and his errors. The Bible says he wept bitterly over what he did when he denied the Lord. A Christian is one who's sorry for his sins and his transgressions. Number three, a Christian is a meek individual. Look at verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The ASV uses the word meekness when it talks about Moses. Moses was said to be the meekest man in all the earth. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 13. The New King James Version says humble, that he was humble. But the American Standard Version says he was meek. He was the meekest man in all the earth, and yet we also know that he was one of the strongest, most powerful characters in the history of the world. Moses. Brethren, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. We've gone over this many times. The giant who came out to challenge Israel was a proud and boastful man, but he was not as strong as that meek and humble shepherd boy named David, was he? Because David had the power of God behind him. Meekness involves a person being humble and teachable and approachable. It is strength under control. It is when you're arm wrestling with one of your children and you let them win. Oh, kids, you were supposed to stop up your ears. You weren't supposed to know that mama or daddy let you win. But meekness is strength under control. You could beat them, you know you could, but you let them win. Or you let your grandkids pin you to the ground when you're wrestling. And you know you could take them. And it's one of the things where we really love being with our kiddos is when we let them have a sense of victory when we know the truth of the matter. Meekness is strength under control, and a genuine Christian is molded into the likeness of Christ. And we sing a song sometimes, Jesus, meek and gentle. And that's who he was. The Son of God, the creator of the universe, allowed them to beat him with whips. Allowed them to spit on him. Allowed them to drive nails into his hands and his feet. Allowed them to run a spear into his side, allowed them to bury him in a borrowed tomb, allowed them, he permitted them, but he could have stopped them at any time. He was meek. And that's how we're supposed to be. This meekness is not to be confused with weakness. Meekness is knowing you could do something about this, but choosing not to. Choosing to take the higher road. Choosing to be like Jesus. In the way we deal with others, in the way we deal with the weak around us. Yeah, being patient and compassionate has a lot to do with being meek as far as the motivation for it. But meekness is one of the marks of a Christian person. And then, not only is he meek, but he has an appetite for that which is good. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is this? Well, Jesus did describe one time. He said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what is this righteousness? Well, righteousness has to do with doing what's right and being right. You have to try your best to be right with God. Now, if you're truly righteous, that means you're without sin, and it takes the grace of God to make that happen. It takes the grace of God bringing the blood of Christ to take your sins away for you to truly be without sin. But when he's talking about seeking righteousness, seeking that which is good, seeking that which is good, a Christian is a marked man in that he has an appetite for that which is good. You know, there's certain foods that we like right off. I don't know anybody that doesn't like ice cream, okay? And most people, most intelligent people, like banana pudding. But you got to learn to like coffee, especially black coffee, Henry. You got to learn to like that. It just doesn't come natural for a baby to like black coffee. Just doesn't come natural. It's not natural for a child. You give a child a cup of black coffee, the only reason that they would drink it is to be like daddy. That's it. Because it doesn't taste good. Now, I've told you many times, Henry gives me a hard time about my coffee. I love creamer. And I put coffee in it. Well, that way, because you'd think I was weird if I just went around drinking creamer, okay? But I love Italian sweet cream. If you want me to come over to your house and drink coffee, have some Italian sweet cream creamer. That is good. Now, second rate is that stone cold killer. No, what do they call that? Cold stone creamer. That's pretty good too. But no, I don't like black coffee. You gotta want to like that. There's some things you just have to cultivate a taste for them, right? Brethren, we must cultivate a taste for the things that are good. The things that are truly good. If we would strive to be like Christ, we must develop an appetite for good things as diligently as we do for the things that we just love in this world. And we have to make progress in our Christian life in the way we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst for that which is good. A Christian is a marked man because he or she is always seeking what is good. They're seeking what is good. Now, some folks come only on Sunday morning. I don't know what your schedule is. Not my job. I'm not trying to blame, criticize, or even convict. I'm just saying that some folks come only on Sunday morning. That's their choice. It's better to come on Sunday night. It's better to come on Wednesday night because your elders have seen fit to offer services at those times, and you need to be here simply because you need this fellowship. You need the instruction. You need the encouragement. You need to be an encourager yourself, and you give exhortation to others. You give encouragement to others. When you show up, you're being here. Look at this crowd this morning. We got a great crowd this morning. Your being here is a lift to everyone. So when we show up, it's a statement about our hungering and thirsting after that which is good, because this is good. It is good to be here. It is good to assemble together and worship the Lord every opportunity that we can. I know we all have to work. I know we all have things we have to do. But we need to recognize the importance of things that are spiritual in our lives. And doing things that help us to hunger and thirst even more after spiritual things so that that appetite can be satisfied. Faithfulness is the mark of a true Christian, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The next one is in verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. A Christian is a marked man in that he is a merciful man. He is merciful and compassionate. Merciful and compassionate. Mercy means forbearance or holding back. You may have the right to get all in somebody's grill. Is that how they say it today, kids? In their grill, get up in their grill. You may have the right to get in somebody's face and tell them exactly how they've treated you and what you think about that. You may have the right to do it, but if you are merciful, you forbear. You hold back. You say, let me take the high road. Let me be the bigger man. Let me do what's right. How would Jesus want me to handle this situation? How would Jesus want me to respond to this person's statement or actions to me? How would he want me to do that? To be merciful. It's not a blessing to be a person who's forever seeking to put a brother or sister in their place. That's not a blessing. You're not blessing them, and you're surely not blessing yourself. And you're not bringing glory to God by being the kind of person that just wants to put somebody in their place. Rather, we need to be the kind of people who are merciful. And, you know, if we go around telling gossip, telling stories on each other, making up stuff, or even spreading things that may be even true, and we're not doing that for the benefit of another person, we're doing that just to be involved in it, brethren, that's a sin. That is a sin. And we need to stay away from gossip. Cruelty and harshness should have no place in our lives. We should be kind and gentle in our treatment of others. Such a person will obtain mercy from the Lord. A Christian is a marked man. He's marked by his merciful compassion toward others. A Christian is one in verse 8, Matthew 5 verse 8, who is pure of heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who is this pure man? Who is he? Well, in Philippians 4 and 8, the things you're to seek, those things that are pure. If there's anything that's pure, you need to be thinking on that. You need to be focusing on that. Now, folks, there are TV shows that come on that are so not pure, that are so impure. And we need to steer clear of those things, folks. They're not helping us at all to be more like Jesus. They're pulling us in the other direction. We need to stay away from things that are not pure. This is one of the problems with illicit drug use. This is one of the problems with alcohol. This is one of the problems with any kind of an addiction, including smoking. It's one of the problems with chewing tobacco. It's one of the problems with overeating. It's one of the problems with just being lazy. It's one of the problems with bad habits in our lives. We surround ourselves with impure things that are not focused on doing the will of God. Things that are focused on satisfying our own appetites or our own interests. And we need to be focused on things that are good and things that are pure. We need to be pure of heart. Why is there so much sex before marriage? Because of the impure hearts. Why is there so much of an interest in things that are carnal of nature? Because we have impure hearts. We need to be people who are pure of heart. That's the kind of mark that a Christian has. A Christian is also a peacemaker. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Some always try to make trouble. I don't understand that. There's sometimes I get phone calls from people that all they want to do is create some drama. Just want to create some drama. They just need something to talk about. And so they want to stir up trouble. Just cause some sort of drama. Brethren, we need to be peacemakers. Jesus came to make peace between man and God. Now he did say, I did not come to bring peace but a sword. He knew that his gospel and the life that he's calling us to live would separate people. It would separate families. It would cause contention and division among folks. But Jesus came to bring man back in relationship with God, and not all men are interested in coming back to God, are they? Not all men are interested in being children of God, in giving up the things of this world and taking up their cross and following Jesus. Not everyone's interested in that. And they're going to oppose us. And they're going to persecute us. And they're going to cause us problems. And they're going to hate us. And there is no peace between us and them. It's not going to happen. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the person who seeks peace and pursues it. He's talking about the person who, as much as in him is, lives peaceably with all men, but it's as much as in you is. You can't do that for somebody else. And more importantly, the peacemaker is one who seeks to make peace between men and God. You're trying to bring people to Jesus, that's a blessing right there. You're trying to make peace, help somebody find God. But you need to be a peacemaker where you are a person who helps people get along with each other and you try to get along with people. Where you try to solve problems instead of creating problems. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus came to create this peace then between God and between men, the men who are indeed at peace with God. And he wants us to be peacemakers who seek peace with God and with man. I want to read John chapter 13. You know this passage. In John chapter 13, let me get over to it. Verse 34 and 35, you know this passage. You know it very well. Here we go. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A Christian is a marked man. He wears a badge of love. It's not an outward display. It's not something done to put on a show. But he wears a badge of love where people can see this person. When they're around them for a little while, they can tell this is a person who's full of love. This is a person who cares about other people, not just himself. This is a person who loves his God, who loves his brethren. And it looks like he even loves me. We need to be described as, when somebody sees us, they need to realize, oh, there's a marked man right there. He is full of love. She is full of love. So it should be a badge that we wear. And now I'm not talking on the outside. I'm talking about on the inside. We are truly dependent upon God. We realize how badly we need God. We're marked in this way. We're marked by a sorrow over our sins. Brethren, we are marked as a meek individual before God and before man. We are marked as people who hunger and thirst for that which is good. We are marked as people who are merciful and compassionate toward those around us. We are marked as people who have pure hearts, who want only what is right. And we are marked as people who are peacemakers, who seek peace between God and man, and between ourselves and our fellow man. That's how we should be seen. They need to see love when they look at us, and they need to see the characteristics of Christ in our lives. Wherever we go, vacation, work, school, the sports field, it doesn't matter where we go. They should be able to see. In just a little while, that person's different from the rest of you guys. This must be a Christian. You can see it by the badge of love. You can see it by the marks that we display in our lives. If you're not a Christian, there's nothing more important right now than what you decide right now. You need to become a child of God. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you really? Then repent. Turn from sin. Commit your life to His service. Confess the sweet name of Jesus before men. Be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, letting the blood of Jesus wash your sins away so that you can be raised up to walk in newness of life as a child of God whose name is written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you've never done that, you need to do that. And if you already have become a Christian, but you've not been faithful to the Lord, you've not been wearing the marks of what a true Christian is, you can make some changes in your life right now. Repent, first of all. Rededicate your life to God. Ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive you. Confess to God your sins and ask Him to forgive you. He will forgive, He will restore, and you can begin that walk again in seeking to serve Him and wear the marks of what a true Christian is. If there's a way we can help you today, we encourage you to come if you need to.
as we stand and sing.